It was honestly heartbreaking, bro. Honestly, it was tough. I'm not even gonna lie, it was tough because that was the main reason why I went to Kansas. And it was to play in March Madness to win a national championship. And for me, from everything I went through, even from just at the start of Kansas, because it was like a real grind to get. I didn't start when I first got to Kansas. I had to really work. And I ended up starting like the middle of the season going into March Madness. So I was messed up, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
Welcome to 94 and More, presented by Bristol Studio. While a basketball court might be 94 feet, we believe it's limiting to solely look at this beautiful game as a sport. In our minds, it's closer to an art form, even a tool through which we can study the world and learn about ourselves. I'm your host, Jake Fenster, and on this podcast, we will explore the game of basketball, not only as a sport, but as a dynamic force that influences culture, builds bridges, and has the ability to shape our national conversation. Hope you enjoy. As always, feel free to reach out to us at 94@bristol-studio.com and follow us on Instagram at Bristol Studio and at 94 and More Podcast. All right, let's get into the show.
Today, I'm here with Vic. Vic, how you doing?
Good, dog. What's up?
Our guest today is Isaiah Moss. Isaiah, thanks for joining the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
So I think it's fitting that we start off because March Madness just ended and Kansas won the tournament and you played at Kansas. What was that like for you watching that?
Oh, watching it, it was good to see them win. You know, a lot of those guys that played on that team I played with, and our season got canceled 2020 that year. We were number one seed. We was expecting to win it. I thought we was going to win it. So to see them win it felt good. They deserve it. Coach deserves it. So I was just happy.
When they were down, 15 at half? Did you see it happen? Did you see the comeback?
Yeah, I wasn't worried. Everybody was all in my ear. Like I wasn't worried at all though, because like I knew in the locker room coach was gonna get them ready. It was gonna come out. And I feel like they played better in the second half. So I already knew they was gonna come back.
Where's the thing that you
go ahead,
RJ. You ended up transferring. Did you have two dogs in the race, or you were always just Kansas?
I don't know. I had said I was going to transfer from Iowa, and I had ended up transferring to Arkansas. Well, I don't think a lot of people don't know this, but I committed to Arkansas, and I took a visit to Arkansas. I took a visit to Kansas, and I committed to Arkansas. And about a week later, I had decommitted from Arkansas and then went to Kansas. So to answer your question, it was pretty much those two schools.
But I'm saying while you were watching the tournament, did you want Iowa, Arkansas, and Kansas to do well, or you just going for Kansas?
Oh man, pretty much Kansas. Iowa lost pretty early, so it was
made
pretty
it easier for him.
Yeah,
you see, he says pretty much that Iowa went far. He'd have been like, you know, I kind of had the Hawkeyes doing my thing.
Exactly. I wanted to pick on what you said. When Kansas was down at half, you weren't worried. You kind of knew that the coach would have them in the locker room and get them ready to go. What went through your mind? Like, what about Coach Bill Self? In that halftime made you so confident that he was going to get those guys ready?
I think it's just his coaching methods and his process of just throughout the whole season from day one, from we have a boot camp from that day forward, it's just mentally getting you ready for that very moment. He's a great coach, but he's hard on you, which makes you better and perform better in these moments. So I knew that those guys at the last game of the season, with having a full season before that, they were ready for it mentally.
Yeah, no, I think that obviously there was something that happened in that locker room that changed the trajectory of that game and won them a championship, which was obviously not an easy thing to do. But I want to take it back a little bit. Let's go to your early days. So you grew up in Chicago, right?
So I'm from a suburb called Frankfort. I grew up in Frankfort, Illinois. Went to Lincoln Way East for my first year of high school, and I transferred.
Gotcha. And moved to Chicago. How did you get connected with Vic? How did you guys know each other?
Man, I think that's when I moved to the city. Is when we first started like seeing each other in gyms. Mm-hmm. I moved to the city my sophomore year in high school. Went to Simeon, and I think after that, I started getting into camps and stuff and seeing him around.
What's crazy is I would have imagined we would have, you know, crossed paths at least one between our fathers having a good relationship with each other. But then two, I'm also from, you know, kind of the south suburbs and definitely have family in Frankfurt. So I feel like we should have crossed paths in the city. But, you know, it's just weird how life works sometimes.
It is. So Isaiah, for you, was basketball kind of the thing that you were always in love with? Did you always start with basketball? Were there other sports involved, or how did you really get involved in this game?
Yeah, it was pretty much always basketball. My sister played high school, and I really liked it watching her, but that was pretty much it. But I just always played basketball. I tried playing football, and I didn't like it. So
what did you like about it?
I played up. I was in sixth grade and I played with the eighth graders because I was so tall at the time. And I was still like a soft little kid and I ended up getting hurt. They hit hard. They hit too hard. So I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to stick with basketball.
Yeah, it's the same reason Vic didn't play football. He didn't like the hits.
true enough.
This time.
I'm not going to let you draw me into the football banter. Yeah, I played for a decent amount of time, actually. I'm not going to let Jake pull me into the football banter. He tries to do this every show.
Every time football comes up, I have to.
He tries to do it.
All right, so just getting off topic, but Vic came out to L.A., and Vic was talking about how he's a quarterback and all this, and we're in the middle of the street, like, throwing the football, and I swear you threw one of the ugliest ducks I've ever seen, like, sidearm, just – hit like a park.
What's crazy is, so as we know,
it's still in my mind. So
there was a tornado in the middle of the street too, huh? But when I played, I was actually really good at football, but I tore my labrum because I did throw sidearm and I got sacked. A guy hit me in the front and I guess a lineman came around and got me as I threw the ball down and tore my labrum. And so like since I had did that really, I never – like, I had to stop, basically.
Yeah. How long did you play?
Like, let me just focus on basketball. Maybe 6 years, 6-7 years.
Oh, you played for a while.
Coach D made me quit. Coach D was kind of like, you know, you have,
yeah.
Because, so when I came into Rita, I came in and they had kind of like, you know, more or less recruited me to play football and basketball. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Tony Hicks and another one of our players, like better players, played football too. Tony had just tore his ACL playing football, and another player had, like, broke his arm. So our coach was like, none of my basketball guys can play football anymore. And I was kind of like, no, I came here to play both. So I'm going to play football too. I started doing up training and all that stuff, and then he kind of sat me down and was like, all right, look, if you play football, you're not going to be on varsity. So I was just kind of like, all right, well, that's great. That's literally, as I'm like gearing up for football season, so I had to stop. Just go right to basketball.
Which one was your like first love? I guess like which one did you like more at the time?
I think I was better at football at the time. I always loved basketball. Like I always loved basketball. You know, I come from a big basketball family, and I love basketball. But I was really good at football. Like when high school was kind of telling me to come to their school, it was for football. But really? Basketball was like, oh, you can play basketball too, but like it was for football. And yeah. I was looking at Marist, Mount Carmel, HF, and Rita for like football and basketball. I was going to play basketball, but it was really football.
True.
But just the way it played out, I ended up taking off with basketball.
True.
It's a nice little tangent. Vic Law's former football career didn't.
Well, also pretty short too. So like it made more sense for me to play football too, I guess.
And then you shot up, and that was all over. Yeah. But getting back on track. So Isaiah, you stuck with basketball. When did you start realizing your potential in basketball? Was that, you know, early on, or did it take a little while till you were in high school?
Yeah, it took a little while. I would say probably my junior Yeah, probably like my junior year in high school. So probably like sophomore year in high school, sophomore to junior year, like that summer.
So, and what was like the turning point? Was there a specific moment or anything that, you know, you were doing differently, or, you know, were you practicing waking up every day at 5 a.m. putting in work, and you realized at that point in time, like you had set yourself apart from the competition, or what kind of stands out in your memory?
I feel like it was just that transition from going to the suburbs, playing in the suburbs to playing in the city. And my confidence just went way up once I like knew like I can hang and I can play and really like play. So I think that was a moment where I was like, okay, I can really do this for real.
Kevin, take us back to like the early Lincoln Way East days. When you first had the Lincoln Way East, what was you on, freshman, sophomore, was you on varsity starting out? Like what, take us through that experience and tell us like the difference between playing in the suburbs, playing in the city.
Okay. When I first got there, my freshman year, I played on the sophomore team, and it was pretty easy. It was a lot of fun because it was like I was scoring a lot of points, all that type of stuff. And then my sophomore year, I played on varsity. I actually played with my brother because he's 2 years older than me. I played on varsity, and we wasn't good or nothing like that, but it was still like, I guess I would say pretty easy. And then going to the city, it was like a little shock to me at first. I was playing timid. Like, I'm not used to, you know, being around like all Black people for real, to be honest with you. Yeah. And it was like, I was playing timid at first. And then, I don't know, something just had snapped. I guess I just got used to it or whatever, but you know, just start playing well. And I don't know. I just got confidence from it. The difference I would say from playing it, and you probably, I know you know Vic, but the difference is just the aggressiveness and just like the mentality. It's like a real thing in Chicago. Like basketball is a serious thing. I would just say the mentality, the aggression, toughness.
Got you. And then what led you to change to Simeon?
First of all, Simeon, my God. Simeon, get it right, bro.
All right. The guy not from Chicago gets it wrong. I get it. You know what? All right, but you know what I was going to get right that I was super excited about, Vic? It's Brisbane.
Well, it is Brisbane.
It's Brisbane. That's what matters here. It's Brisbane. But all right, go ahead.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
What made you leave and go to –
Simeon, yeah. Oh man, what was the? I think it was just to play better competition. I think my parents seen I don't really come from a sports family, so we didn't really know a lot. So I guess we were just kind of gaining knowledge about basketball and stuff. And now they want me to be in a better position to like go to college and stuff like that. So, it was Simeon. And I know that my sophomore year, we were going to a lot of Simeon games and stuff like that, just checking it out. And, I think that's the reason we just gained more knowledge about basketball. And we wanted to be in the best position for me to get better.
And what was that experience like for you? So once you were now in that position at, you know, a basketball school, what were some of the things that, you know, you had to adjust to that felt very different from your previous high school basketball experience?
Oh, you talking about basketball-wise?
Yeah, basketball-wise. Or, you know, outside of basketball, too.
Just like I said, the mentality. Like I said, I think I was probably, when I first got there, was a little timid and wasn't used to just the environment. But, I think that was probably the biggest adjustment for me. It don't take me long to adjust, though. So that it didn't take too long. But, yeah, I would say that was my biggest adjustment.
How'd you like playing with, some of Chicago's best talent? Because I know when we were in high school and you were at Simeon, you know, Simeon was still rolling with some players like Kendrick Nunn, Steve Taylor, Jabari. Like, how was it like playing and practice with them every day and kind of seeing them play? So, and playing against them, really?
Yeah, so but they came out the year that I got there. They graduated 2013. They left they left the year I came in, so I didn't ever get to like play with them or practice with them or nothing like that. Yeah,
but even still, you still got to play with some of the better talent. Like you got to play with Zach.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun playing with those guys that can like really hoop and stuff. I feel like it made my game better too, being able to see them.
When you played against them, did you feel like you stacked up well against them? You know what I'm saying? Because kind of coming from the suburbs and like you playing against the city dudes or whatever, did you feel like at first were you like, damn, I'm over my head? Or when you started playing, where you were like, nah, I'm like just as good as these dudes, or I'm better than some of them?
Yeah. When I first got there, like I said, it was kind of like, I'm not even going hard because I'm just not confident yet. And then as time went on, it's like, man, I can do the same thing. Like, I'm doing the same thing. Right. So, yeah, like you said, as time went on, it's just I was like, I'm better than you, or like I'm not far off type stuff. So, yeah, that also, like, helped me too, just going at them every day and stuff like that.
And then how did that translate to your recruiting, you know, college recruiting? What was that experience like for you? What were those visits like? Like, how did you narrow your list down? Were you looking outside of basketball? You know, were you looking at schools for an education? What other interests did you have that helped you kind of figure out where you were going?
I think that adjustment I made to go to Seminole really helped me because I didn't have any offers before that. And then once I got there, my first offer was Chicago State. And then
– so everybody first offer, baby. Chicago State was my first offer too.
Shout out Chicago State.
Everyone first.
For real. Shout out Chicago State. That's hilarious, bro.
I know some of these boots said my first offer was Chicago State. That's everyone's first, man. Shout out State. That is hilarious.
Shout out Chicago State for real, man. They be grinding, bro. They grinding for real.
Facts. They got a good talent. They know everybody.
Yeah. First. Facts. I'm sorry. What was the question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's great. Just Vic blew the whole question up with Chicago State. what was the recruiting process like for you?
Oh, okay. It started off slow.
Outside of Chicago State.
Yeah. It started off kind of slow. And then that year, my junior year going to my senior year, I think that I played pretty well at the Bigfoot tournament. Vic, you remember that tournament in Vegas? Bigfoot Hoops?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had ended up.
Who did you play AAU with? I'm sorry. I feel like I'm killing this interview.
No, it's fine. It's your interview, Vic. You stole the show.
I played with a few teams. I started off playing with Mac Irvin, and then I didn't like how it was going. I left there, and then I played with Playground Elite. This is a team in Milwaukee, and then I came back to Mac Irvin to finish it up. Who you play with?
Please tell you the Bigfoot Hoops. Mac Irvin. I played with Mac Irvin all the way from 7th grade to 16U. Then in 17U, I saw that we were getting Jahlil. Like, Jahlil Garden team, but I saw he was in Cliff.
Oh, you played with D-Rose, right?
Nah, I played with D-Cliff. Cliff played with D-Rose. I played with Mac Irvin from 7th grade to 16U. But I'm saying when 17U came around and it was like, you bringing in Cliff, I was like, bro, I am not just throwing the ball in the post every time. So I left it on the mean streets.
Right.
And on Main Street, I just watched Tyler Hughes dribble the ball around the whole stuff.
Yeah.
But it was cool. Like, I got to learn a lot of stuff on the EYBL circuit, so it was cool.
Yeah. You played with were you there when Charles was there? Did y'all play on the same team?
With Main Streets?
Yeah.
I think Charles was fire at first, or Ferrari then fire, then Main Streets. I was really Mac Irvin the whole time, and then just the last year I went to Main Streets.
Okay. So that's how you know Tori, his name.
So when I was coming up, when I first started playing AAU, bro, I was playing I was playing basically shirts and skins at the Y, bro, my AAU team when I first started. Like, yeah. I was playing with just my homies around at the crib. Like, we wasn't really like AAU tournaments we would go to was like Gary, Indiana. You know, we weren't really playing at like AAU tournaments for real. But then Tori's dad, who's good friends with my dad, you know, it's like, you know, Mac Irvin's got a good team. I'm the coach of this team. You know, I want your son to play. And basically, like, every weekend, I would just stay with Terry and Tori, and we would drive to these tournaments and stuff. And that's kind of how I got acclimated into it. You know what I'm saying? The first couple of years I was on that curve and like I really didn't play like at all. Like I was just kind of like I was like the 10th man. You know what I'm saying? I was just getting better through like practicing and like really getting frustrated that I wasn't playing. Like that's really how I feel like how I got better. Cause my frustration made me want to like, you know, get better. Cause I was like, wow, like all of these dudes aren't better than me. But yeah, I play with Mac Urban. So when people ask me like, wait, are you, I usually just claim Mac Urban. I really don't say the industry's for it.
Okay.
So now that we know Vic's AAU history, let's
I'm gonna mute myself.
The Barefoot Hoops, Isaiah. No. So Isaiah, so you played well. You said Barefoot Hoops in Vegas.
I think it's called Bigfoot.
Bigfoot Hoops in Vegas. And then what happened? So college coaches saw that and started reaching out.
Yeah, they just started reaching out from there, calling my high school coach. And yeah, I think it was probably like 10, 15 schools from just that tournament. It was like 5-6 days tournament or something like that. But yeah, I think that's where most of them came from.
Got you. And then how did you end up choosing Iowa? What went into that decision-making process?
It's crazy. Iowa had ended up coming to one of my high school practices and they end up, you know, Ed Morrow?
Yep.
You heard of him?
Of course.
They came there to watch him. And I ended up playing well in that practice. We just scrimmaged the whole time. But I ended up playing well. And then they had just started at the practice. They talked to my coach and my family. And then we just kept in communication. And I went on a visit and I enjoyed myself. So that's I ended up committing like on the visit.
And for you, what do you think it was about that visit that sold it? Like what made it clear that was where you were going to go? Was it the size of the school? Was it the conference that they're playing in? Were there other factors? Like what was the final decision what led to that final decision?
Honestly, I think it was just, I thought it was a good conference. I liked it, the coaching staff when I first went there. We had good conversations. I liked the campus. It wasn't too far from home. I think all those things played a factor.
I got two questions for you. My first one being, when you were growing up, did you have like a dream school? Right? Did you like love Duke or Michigan State or Kentucky? Like, did you have a uniform that you just envisioned yourself playing in the college?
Honestly, bro, I didn't, to be honest. When I was younger, I feel like I really didn't think about college or NBA when I was super young. I just liked playing basketball. Growing up, I kind of got into all that. I started freshman year of high school, I started probably thinking about stuff like that.
And who was your team?
I liked the Michigan State.
Okay. Did Tom Izzo ever end up recruiting you?
Nah, I never heard from Tom Izzo.
Oh, so we're not fans of Michigan State today?
No, we're not. Clearly
absolutely not.
Nah.
But when you got into Iowa and you're kind of like getting, you know, your freshman, you dropped off for summer school and you kind of moving in, what were your first impressions of kind of Iowa, the school, and then as a kind of college basketball in the Big Ten?
Man, my first impressions, I was kind of nervous when I first got there. Just because I'm the youngest, I guess. I don't know. I'm the youngest in my family. I kind of always been like babied and stuff. So I was kind of nervous leaving. And then I get there and honestly, that freshman year was probably the funnest time of my life. I had, you know, remember Brandon Hudson? You remember Brandon Hudson?
Yeah.
He's from Chicago too. And
he transferred to Simeon last year, didn't he?
Nah, he was at DeLaSalle.
He was at DeLaSalle. Okay.
Yeah. But so that was my good friend. Yeah, it was fun, bro. I redshirted that year. So I was really just like practicing, chilling, like just
you just enjoying college, huh?
Yeah. I was really just enjoying college. Yeah, I was really just like a student, bro, just chilling.
Yeah.
We was going out, like just having fun, bro.
So I don't know if this is accurate. You tell me if this is where I saw that. I read this online. It said you scored 19 points in 96 seconds.
Yeah, so that was stop clock, though. It wasn't like literally not. It was like a stop clock. Yeah, but yeah, that's true.
But still.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Did you mean a stop clock?
Like it wasn't just 96 seconds straight. It was like they blow the whistle, like timeouts, like all stuff like that.
I mean, that's a 19 points. Come on, that's still.
Yeah,
no. I'm not taking 20 points in a minute 30. Don't take it away from me, so.
Yeah,
no. Who was you playing, right. Chicago State?
No.
It was Minnesota, right?
Yeah, it was Minnesota.
Come on, Vic.
So it was Minnesota.
Sorry, hold on. I want to make sure. Vic's jealous. It's a big time. They started.
No, for sure. I've never scored 19 points in a minute and 30. That's tough.
So we were just we were losing bad, like down by like probably 17, and we like the game over. So I'm really just out there just trying to shoot and stuff like that. And then yeah, that's pretty much it. Like we had this one play where it was pretty much just an ISO play. I just get it, go down and just score like in the first 8 seconds. And I had pretty much just did that every time and end up making a lot of shots. And yeah, that's how that went.
Hold on.
Did you know you had 19?
Yeah, did you know?
No, I didn't even know. I didn't even know, honestly. I was just trying to get them
up. So you're telling me when you're the type of player in the game when you're like cooking and you're scoring, you don't know how many points you have?
Nah, well, that game was different. Like I probably counted my points like during the game, but like at that point, the game was over. I really wasn't counting, to be honest. I don't think I was.
So right now, and if tonight you score 48 points and you got 48, you wouldn't know that you're about to get 50.
Nah, I wouldn't know.
That's ridiculous.
How would I know? Nah, I wouldn't know.
First of all, you guys have a scoreboard that says the number and the points.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
What do you mean? How would you know?
Your scoreboard has
the stats on it.
No, wait. Brisbane don't got that.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, bro. No. With two boards. One of the boards has name and points.
Oh, yeah, they do. I'm tripping.
Trust me. I look from here and there, and I know in Brisbane, it's the points right there on the board.
Nah, yeah. I would do that. I would look. Yeah, I'll definitely look. Yeah.
So basically you just have one of those stretches where you kind of blacked out. And
yeah, I would say that. That's the best way to explain it.
Because that's pretty impressive. And like you're saying, Vic clearly is upset that he never had that. So I just want to give you your flowers there. That's incredible stuff. You know,
I want to give him a flower too. And he didn't know about it. I want to give him a flower.
But yeah, he would have been telling everybody about it.
Appreciate
that. I'd have messed it up because I'd have been like, oh man, I gotta get 20. I will for sure.
All right. So let's get back on track. So you declared for the NBA draft in 2018. What led to that decision? Were you felt like you had done enough in college and you had a good opportunity to go pro and that was the best time to do it? What was that whole process like?
My pops really, I would say made me. I would say encouraged me to do that. I didn't really want to do that. I feel like I didn't really do enough at the moment in college. But he thought it was a good idea. And I would say he encouraged me to do that.
Okay, and then so once you had made that decision, you worked out for teams, I imagine.
Nah.
Oh, you didn't?
Nah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like I didn't do enough because I didn't have any workouts. Yeah, it was just,
So then when you made a decision to go back to college, how did you choose your school? And then what ultimately, well, I guess, you know, you chose Arkansas, originally is what you were telling us. So how did that happen? And then how did you end up going to Kansas instead?
All right. So from the beginning, when we were talking about it, I didn't think that I would have as many schools reach out to me. I was thinking, because normally when people say, like, when you leave high major schools, you normally go down. So I'm expecting to hear from, like, UIC, like just smaller Division I schools. And when I put my name in the portal, a lot of schools had reached out, a lot of big schools. And I think that I had talked to a lot of them, and the best conversations I had was probably Arkansas. And I went out to Arkansas, and they had like a full like plan, and it looked real good to me. And that's why I had ended up committing there. I committed there like a few days after I came back home.
And then what happened that led you to Kansas?
One of my coaches from when I was like in third grade, he's like, we still talk a lot. And him and my dad were talking, and they thought it would be best if I went to Kansas. So they talked me into leaving Arkansas. I'm not going to do that. But we had a conversation and I decided to leave Arkansas and then go to Kansas.
So you had Kansas as one of the offers.
Yeah,
at
yeah.
The time when you chose
yeah,
Arkansas.
I had Kansas. So yep. Yep.
You clearly I had top programs across the nation interested in picking you up for that year.
Yeah, yeah, yep, yep. I had actually took a visit to Kansas as well, too.
Okay.
So,
And so once you chose Kansas, you know, what was that like? How did that feel? Did it feel different than being in the, you know, in the Big Ten and with Iowa? Did you feel a different kind of basketball sense when you were on that campus?
Yeah. No, they're huge with basketball. It was crazy. Honestly, as far as partying and stuff like that, I tell people all the time, they don't believe me, but Iowa was like better than Kansas party wise. Iowa was different, I'm not gonna lie. But as far as basketball wise, it's like the top of the top, I would say. It was definitely a lot more pressure playing for Kansas, especially early on. But it was everything I expected to be on the basketball court. It was, people know you everywhere. Games are sold out every game. It's super loud.
You feel like playing in that environment where everyone knows you, where you're kind of treated like a pro already. You know, you're playing in an arena that seats thousands of people. Do you think that's helped you as you've moved on to your pro career?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because even like before I got to Brisbane, I was in New Zealand and here. It's not the same atmosphere. Every game is not the same atmosphere as it was at Kansas. Kansas was sold out. I think it was like 15,000 people in there every game. So as far as when it comes to pressure and stuff and having people watch you, like all eyes on you, I feel like I've gotten used to that being through college and stuff.
And you were on that team at Kansas, right? The year COVID was canceled, correct? And I mean, the year, good God. Good God, my brain just stopped working for a second. The year that COVID ended the March Madness tournament and you guys didn't get a chance to compete, right?
Right, yeah.
What was that like for you? You know, as your final year, you were on the number one team in the nation. Like, what did that really feel like, I think, mentally after everything you'd gone through?
It was honestly heartbreaking, bro. Honestly, it was tough. I'm not even going to lie. It was tough because that was the main reason why I went to Kansas. And it was to play in March Madness, to win a national championship. And for me, from everything I went through, even from just at the start of Kansas, because it was like a real grind to get. I didn't start when I first got to Kansas. I had to really work. And I ended up starting like the middle of the season going into March Madness. So I was messed up, bro. I'm not going to lie. I was sick.
And, you know, I think that it really is – I can't even imagine, right? Like for me, I played high school basketball. You know, that was as far as I went. You know, some people think I could have gotten an offer from Chicago State. You know, that's just people. That's just noise. But, you know, I never got the offer.
That's hearsay, yeah. That's ball sack sports.
It's over, tweet, it's over here. You know, it's nothing. But, you know, as a competitor, someone who's always played sports and always tried to play, you know, at the highest level that I could perform, I can't imagine what that felt like. You know, hearing your story, hearing Devon, you know, Devon Dotson, your teammate, he talked a little about it. You know, really, really can't imagine what that was like mentally to endure that. And it kind of must have felt like a bit of unresolved, you know, like your story's not finished. How did you take that and find a way forward, right? Like, how did you end up moving out of that dark space or however you felt and figure out your next step in your basketball career?
Honestly, I would say my dad had a big help, just his support for me with this basketball stuff, because it was a point where I was like, I can do something else, really. And I had a conversation with him, man. He's like, man, you tripping. Like, you, first of all, you come way too far. You went through way too much. You gotta get what you're supposed to get out of it. So I would say my dad really helped me just keep pushing when times were getting rough.
Yeah, man, that's, you know, I think that's really inspiring because, like I said, I can't imagine what that must have felt like for you. But then what was that like, right, when your dad gave you that push and you were ready to start your professional career? What was that first moment like when you signed a professional contract?
Man, it felt good. I would say after – so my first professional contract was in New Zealand. And – I mean, it was like, after like I got my second win, I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Like, I'm training every day. Like, I'm going hard. I'm getting ready. I just wanted to play because COVID was so crazy. You was hearing people that's been in the league, ain't got no job. Like it was just tough, I guess. So for me, I just wanted to get somewhere and play. So when I heard about New Zealand, I was excited. And I got out there and I played well. And then once I heard about, because my whole goal, I was just trying to move up and up. So I had already in my mind I wanted to go play in Australia. I talked to my agent about it. Like, this New Zealand gig was going to be a stepping a stepping stone to like get up to Australia. So I played well, and then I heard from an Australian team, and that's when it really hit me, like, never give up.
Yeah.
You got to, like, even like with stuff I'm going through now, like, now I got a little bit of experience. I see, like, it don't last forever. Like, so.
Yeah, no, I think, like you're saying, right, you put the work in, you persevere, and it might not happen how you think it's going to happen, but, you know, look where you are. You're exactly where you wanted to be. And it might not have been the road you wanted to travel, but it's the one you traveled, and here you are today to share your story. What are, you know, your ultimate goals? Like, is it to be in Australia and play at the NBL at the highest level? Is it to make it to the NBA still? Is it to, you know, start a business outside of basketball? Like, what are your kind of goals for your future?
Well, basketball-wise, my end goal, I want to play in the NBA one day. So that's what I'm working towards. And also, my mom and dad do real estate as well, so I want to get into, like, real estate and just having, like, stuff like that. So I would say those are the only two things I'd be thinking about at this point in my life, but I want to do other things as well.
Really unique to have you both on this show, both from the suburbs of Chicago, both having played for Brisbane. I think that that's just an important thing to call out, that basketball is this amazing thing that brings people together all around the world. And for that coincidence to exist, where you guys are now on this show together and you both played in Brisbane and you're from suburbs of Chicago, I just think that's so incredible, the power that this game can really can have and the effect it can have on people's lives.
Not for sure. I was going to say, you know, even hearing Isaiah speak and all the ups and downs that your career has taken you with, I mean, it still is taking you to, like, New Zealand and Australia. Like, there's a lot of people, especially from where we're from, that will never say they got to go to Australia, never get to say they, you know, have seen New Zealand. I've never seen New Zealand, but people here just say how beautiful it is.
I haven't either.
And, like, have had that experience. So it definitely is something that's, like, you shouldn't be taking for granted. But I was going to ask you, if you could give advice to your younger self, maybe say yourself when you're in Iowa, what do you think you would tell yourself?
I would say work hard. If you're going to do it, work hard. Put your heart into it, but enjoy it. I really, really try to enjoy it. Because like you said, a lot of people don't get to do all this stuff, especially where we're from. A lot of people don't get to see this stuff. So just enjoy it. And I would say don't let it change you. Like, basketball is what you do, but it's not who you are. Like, for me, I sometimes allow basketball to affect how I just let it change me. And I don't even know how to say it, but y'all know what I mean? Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's what you do. It's not who you are.
It affects you more than just a game. But I feel like it does that with a lot of people, right? Like, sports can just become so intrinsically a part of everything you do. Like, when you want to – it's funny because as a team, like, Perth had a conversation about this. Like, I know it's just a job and it's what, like, you know, you – it's a sport, right? Like, it's not your life. But we put so much into this thing. Like, it's hard to separate the two sometimes because, like, it is a lot of what controls your everyday life.
Yeah, that's what I would say to my younger self.
I think that's very profound and important to remember. Isaiah, man, we really appreciate your time. Vic, man,
thank you.
You want to ask him the question?
No, yeah, we can. We can. I'm asking two questions because from Chicago. My all first right. question, Isaiah, is give your top three NBA players of all time, and you have to say 1, 2, 3.
And it could be Kobe. That's an acceptable answer, but go ahead.
Really?
Yeah, I'll take it.
If you want to, it could be.
Michael Jordan, Kobe,
okay,
LeBron.
He doesn't like LeBron. Fine. That's fine. That's okay, my second question
I want to hear y'all's, though. I want to hear y'all's, too.
Jake's is Kobe. Jake said Kobe.
I'm Kobe all day.
And mine is Michael, LeBron, and probably Kareem for Kobe.
Okay. All right, cool. What's the second one?
And then my second one is Nate. Name your all-time Chicago starting five.
There's a trick in this question. There's a trick in this question, just so you know.
What's the trick? They had to be from Chicago. They can't have just played on the Bulls. They got to be from Chicago.
Maybe they went to St. Rita's, too. Maybe they had to have gone to St. Rita's, one of them at least. But, you know.
Kevin Garnett's from Chicago, too, just so I'm throwing it out.
Oh, he is? You know. I didn't know
he was from Chicago. He graduated from Farragut. That's from Chicago. Nope.
Okay, D-Rose. Wait, it's in their prime, right? Like, not how they – it's in their prime?
Yeah. You can say MVP Derrick Rose. But yes, it's in their prime. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness. D-Rose. KG. We don't got no bigs though. Like.
AD isn't AD
what,
technically?
Oh, AD, yeah. What's this guy talking about?
I'm chill. Okay, D Rose, AD, KG, Jabari.
I got one. Wow, this
you laugh
is
before
showing,
it too. You laugh before this, it.
Showing his my man is showing his Chicago knowledge.
I got.
Hey, I love Jabari. But he's really showing his Chicago knowledge. The man said we don't have any bigs left out Anthony Davis.
One more. You got one more spot.
I got one more. I don't even know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Somebody pick it for me. I don't even know.
Oh my god! Here, I'll say mine.
What yeah, is say name? Yours.
I got MVP Derrick Rose over Isaiah Thomas by a hair. I got Dwayne Wade. I got Iguodala at my three. Iguodala or Nick Anderson at the three.
I got Anthony Davis at the four.
Anthony Davis with the Perspectives.
What?
Iguodala's from Springfield. Iguodala's from Springfield. Anthony Davis went to Perspectives.
Okay.
So I got AD at the four, KG at the five, and I got Tony Allen as my sixth man.
Oh, yeah, Tony. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a tough team.
Man, this is crazy, man. I don't know. You gotta tighten up on your Chicago.
Man, I'm from Frankfurt, bro. I'm gonna start saying I'm from Frankfurt, bro. I'm not from Chicago. Thanks. I'm from Frankfurt, bro.
Fair enough. Well, Isaiah, man, appreciate you. Good luck with the rest of the season, and we look forward to having you back on.
Man, thank you. Appreciate y'all.
Of course. All right. Take care.
Easy, brother.
All right. See you. All right.
This podcast is presented by Bristol Studio, sound editing by Rashad Allen, music by James Grissom.